I just will say once again how I just want to tell you how much I love my job. It's great to be back because not only do we meet the fine folks in Washington County from the wine and beer and cheese tour. However, we also now move on to another part of our region, which is the Berkshires, and we go to Berkshire Mountain Distillers, established in 2007. They have created a line of award-winning artisanal spirits, including Greylock Gin, Ethereal Gins, Ragged Mountain Rum, Ice Glen Vodka, Berkshire Bourbon, and New England Corn Whiskey. Thank you very much. All products are handcrafted in small batches in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, the Berkshire's first legal distillery since Prohibition. BMD is one of the founding members of the craft distiller movement and embraced by several of the nation's leading mixologists, and with good reason. As we head into the holiday weekend and begin to catch a glimpse of summer in the rearview mirror, Berkshire Mountain Distillers founder, owner, and distiller Chris Weld joins us to talk about Berkshire Mountain Distillers and fall cocktails and botanicals. And we also welcome our dear friend, my co-host for this wonderful event, Ray.
That's me?
Ray Graff.
I'm
yes.
sorry. There's yeah. some logistical issues going on here.
I mentioned this many times, but Ray and I have it in our contracts that when we do these particular segments, we think it's best if we have a designated host.
It's a mutual defense pact.
That's right. And I may even be helping out in your chocolate show
later.
You're
gonna do
that? Yeah, yeah.
Oh, good for you. You'll be sobered up by then.
Yeah, I hope so. Chris, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, gentlemen. I'm great.
It's really good to have you back. We always love when you're on the show. So this idea of botanicals, what does that mean? What does that mean for us?
You know, I just had was thinking about fall and cocktails. And
okay.
For me, fall's
oddly so were we.
Right. Exactly. What a coincidence. So, fall for me is probably my favorite time of the year. The gardens are, you know, full fruition. The apple trees are laden with fruit, and it's just fun to walk around and pick stuff. And a lot of the stuff that we grow intentionally for cocktails. So, I brought in a bunch of different things for us to play with. I must say, I was looking online last night for fall cocktails, and a lot of them fell into the 2 tablespoons of pumpkin puree and whipped cream, and I couldn't do that to you.
So we're gonna
stick with some pretty clean, simple, straightforward things.
I like the idea of clean. What makes a drink clean?
I think starting with a clean spirit. So I think we've talked before about distillation, but with us, we're very cautious on the cuts we make, so the components of the distillate that we keep, and that so we throw out more heads and tails, the beginning and the ends of the distillate, that than some people do, and that leaves us with a very clean product. Your palate stays clean, your head's a little cleaner the next morning, and it's just a great template to work off of. So for me, I think a clean cocktail starts with a clean spirit, and then we delve into what you throw in with the booze. So I'm somewhat of a purist. We're going to be fairly simple. We're going to go with a classic whiskey sour, I think, to start with.
Oh, there you go.
Very good.
All right.
And, you know, we can shake one of those up if you want.
Yes, let's do it.
So the shaker's great sound for, you know, fodder for the radio. So I like to dry shake a little mint with the ice first. Just breaks up the mint, loosens up the oils on it.
So when you say dry shake, that's just ice in the
just
in the
ice
mint.
In the mint.
Okay.
Yeah. I think we have a piece of lemongrass in there, too. We'll get rid of that. a little bourbon and a little sour mix in there with that, and we'll shake it again. I like the texture of a shaken whiskey sour. And for me, this one's with our bourbon, but I really like it with our corn whiskey that we make as well. We make a New England corn whiskey that has, we age it on oak and cherry. It's a little earthier than this and oily.
How long is it aged?
The bourbon's 4 years. The corn whiskey is a little over a year now, but it's on a much higher wood to spirit ratio.
And what does that do?
It just it's a little bit more tannic, but the cuts on the corn aren't quite as lean as they are on the bourbon, and the wood imparts a lot of flavor on that quickly, and it balances the oiliness and earthiness in the corn. So a lot of the, you know, quote unquote mixologists love working with it because it's a kind of a quote dirtier spirit, and they love something with a lot of body to to play with.
So this is a whiskey sour.
That is a whiskey sour with Berkshire bourbon.
It's got some bite. I love it.
That's good. Well, first of all, we didn't cheers.
Cheers.
But, yeah,
cheers.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm going to stick around for the chocolate show, by the
way. Okay, good.
2 o'clock.
Yeah, yeah. 2 o'clock. Yeah. Okay. We have our friends from Mother Merrick's coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure we can do a...
pairing. Like
it's really good.
It's not too sweet. What is this mixer we're using?
Yeah, because it looks like lemonade, but obviously
this
it isn't.
This is cheating, but it's a company called Ripe out of Connecticut, and they do a sour mix and a mojito mix and a wonderful Bloody Mary mix, and it's all cold pressed using HPP, which is high pressure pasteurization. So instead of pasteurization with heat that denatures it and changes the flavor, this is pressurization. So it stays, you can taste this a month later and it tastes like it's fresh pressed.
So not UV light or anything. This is just
correct.
The,
just
yeah.
pressure. It's,
great.
I think it's several thousand pounds of pressure.
Well, it has, I mean, the whole drink has a freshness to it that's just so apparent. So that doesn't, that's very much a part of it, isn't it?
Now, I'm interested in why you would term this an autumn beverage. To me, this is summertime.
I
think it's any time.
It's any time.
Breakfast time.
Right. For me, it's sort of the last chance to get some nice mint. The mint really loses its flavor about now, and I'm a huge mint fan, so I like to use what I can on that. The funny thing is the next drink that we're going to do was just a fall-based gin fizz, and I wanted to start a marketing campaign that gin is not just for summer anymore, and it's a shame that it sort of drops off after Labor Day, like white pants. But I like gin. I think you know.
Usually, how most of the parties end at our house.
Right.
But go ahead.
Boy, ouch! Really?
The gin just it's got more flavor than the vodka, and I think should stick around through all the seasons. So this was a gin fizz that uses some cider in it. And I brought three gins today. Our flagship Greylock gin, that's a London dry style.
Terrific.
The garden gin that speaks to the botanicals. So we harvest a lot of stuff out of our gardens. We make a limited edition batch that we just sell out of the distillery. And then a barrel-aged gin that might fit a bit more with the fall. So I'm going to leave the choice on the three gins to you guys for this next.
The barrel-aged raised a lot of eyebrows in the front office.
Okay.
And I have not seen this one before. Tell me about the character of this one.
So the barrel-aged gins, we formulate the gin formula to hold up to wood. So it has a bit more on the brown spice. And so that after this is probably 4 years in wood, it still has some of the gin character. This version here spent time in Sam Adams' Utopius barrel. So Utopius is a very high-proof beer they make with maple, and these were ruby and tawny port barrels. So we'll fire up a gin fizz with that. I think that's fitting.
All right.
It'll go well with the
cider. Now, I would not make a martini with this stuff, right?
You might.
Well,
I'm not.
No, the average martini drinker would not do that, correct?
No, I would. You're
going to be drinking this out of your desk in an hour. You may.
It's actually a great on-the-rocks gin. It drinks almost like a whiskey in some ways. So this is just gin, some cider.
Man.
Some lemon juice, and then half an ounce of maple syrup, which I brought.
Do we have to empty our glasses, right?
No, we've got.
Okay, all right.
We can
good.
Save that.
I'm
all
not
right.
giving this up.
Yeah. No, I'm enjoying this.
So, we'll do it in a separate glass here. So the gardens at the distillery are full swing now.
Now can we visit the distillery? You are or are not open?
We are open. We will be open this weekend. We will not be open on Monday.
Okay.
And classically, we do tours that you have to book on Fridays and Saturdays.
All right.
But this Saturday from 12 to 4, we are having sort of an open house, self-guided tour. Someone will be around to show you around. So if you want to drop in, peruse the gardens, pick up some botanicals to make one of these drinks with, please drop on by 12 to 4.
But in general, you don't have people just drop in. I remember driving by one time, and I thought, I'd drop in.
We have a retail spot that 12 to 4-ish, 12 to 5, depending on the day, seven days a week, except for the major holidays, that you can come in, complimentary tastings. We're right near a great little brewery, Big Elm Brewing, which is right near us.
Oh, also very good.
And so you can drop in, have a tasting, walk around the gardens. But the tours take about an hour. They're pretty in-depth and informational, and those need to be pre-scheduled.
Okay, so again, this is...
So this one here is going to be a fall gin fizz.
Fall gin fizz.
How long has Berkshire Mountain now been distilling?
Legally? 10 years. No, it's been 10 years.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Such good word of mouth. It's so funny. Since you started, there are now so many smaller distillers all over the place.
It's a bit mind-boggling. The numbers when I started, there were about 50 in the country, and now there are about 1,500
it's amazing.
Registered.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, you were just using a club soda that looked fancy to me, but tell me a little bit about that.
So this is a Fever Tree club soda.
Okay.
And I love Fever Tree. I don't know if it's worth buying Fever Tree club soda. I shouldn't say that. But done a lot of work with these guys. They make amazing tonics. They have a bitter lemon that's fantastic. It's a real bitter lemon.
Yeah,
it's like
good.
A European bitter lemon.
With quinine or no?
It has quinine. Yeah,
yeah,
it's a tonic
based.
That's good. Yeah, it's great. It's wonderful.
All right.
So, I love the scent of this drink.
You could also make that with a hard cider.
Man, you can't beat that.
But that's a nice. So that's a fall.
That's
cocktail.
A fall gin fizz.
Yeah.
And you. So you would replace the. With the cider.
You could do a hard cider, but
a hard cider.
Instead
but
of a hard sparkling
cider,
I did regular cider with club soda.
You get the interesting flavor of this gin. This has a...
It's complex.
This is unique. It's great.
Yeah. We can try it afterwards.
Yeah.
Off the air.
I think we probably
will. Yeah, we will.
So...
That's what we call lunch hour, Chris.
No.
Okay. Where else are we... This is amazing. I mean, they're all amazing, but this is really amazing. And as Ray said, so the botanical in this, yes or no? Is there a botanical in this?
We did not.
All right.
It's the gin's an aged gin, so it gives a different layer of complexity that people aren't used to with gins.
Okay.
We got I don't know if we have time for another drink.
Yes. Okay. We have 10 minutes.
We have,
heavens.
Time to kill. Okay.
Embarrassment of riches.
So we've got, I should have brought some other stuff to make here. Big weekend in the Berkshires. We got the VFW car show right next to us this weekend.
Yep.
Be fun. That's always a hoot.
Because nothing is smarter than whiskey and driving, right?
That's right.
Well, you're just looking at cars.
It's right next to the shooting range, too, I
would
think.
Get a designated driver for your classic car.
We have Fresh Grass coming up in the Berkshires.
Yes, the Fresh Grass Festival at Babs Mocha. Great lineup, as always.
Do a bunch of stuff with those guys, which is fun.
Yep.
Just a good time to be out in the Berkshires. The farmer's market, a lot of stuff going on.
Now, I don't know if you talked to Sarah about this or not, but I think we're going to put these recipes up online. Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
I'll have to write them legibly.
That's
then.
All right. That's okay. We'll get that.
Just take a picture of his notepad.
Give us 12 hours, but we'll figure it
out.
Perfect.
So okay. The next one's just a bourbon and thyme. So we picked thyme because it's a nice herb to use.
That's what it looks like.
The bourbon.
Yep.
This is what it looks like.
Right? I'll be darned.
So this is just standard English thyme. But we do have lemongrass and hyssop in here.
You paid way too much the first time you got it.
Lemon verbena, which I don't know. Have you guys smelled this stuff before?
No.
This is
wonderful. Least nothing I'm aware of.
Teas and...
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Oh, wow. Really,
so we could substitute any of these for the thyme.
And what is that again that I'm smelling?
Verbena.
Lemon verbena.
Lemon verbena.
So that's South American plant.
Wow, that is.
And you grow this right at the distillery?
We grow that. Yeah, we use it in some of our. The nice thing about the distillery is you can go out and pick some of this and use it in a cocktail in the distillery if you want. Or tomorrow, I think we'll have a bunch on the counter just for people to grab and bring home.
Now, before we have the cocktail, let's go back about 8 minutes. You said we cut. At the head and the foot, or the top and the bottom, what do you mean?
Heads and tails. So when you ferment something, the yeast is eating the sugars, essentially, right? And it's creating carbon dioxide and alcohol. But there are myriad different alcohols that are produced. So different chemicals. There's ethanol, and there's aldehydes, and there's methanol and amylin butyl alcohols. And they're all produced in that fermentation. And if you drink a beer, you'll drink the whole kit and caboodle.
Right.
So part of that, what's produced is dependent on the temperatures or the yeast strain. So if you're drinking a Hef, that yeast produces a banana-type compound flavor that you then drink.
Yep.
In the distillation process, though, all of those compounds have their own volatilities or boiling points. So as the still heats up, they come over in order, and the compounds in the heads, like the aldehydes, come over first, then the hearts, and then the tails, which are amyl and butyl alcohol. And so the first part you don't want to drink, and the last part you don't really want to drink, and you just sort of pick the shoulders on where you're going to make your, quote, cuts.
Well, how do you know when it's time to make the cut?
Proof, temperature, time into it, and in the beginning, many painful days of tasting continuously and,
trial,
you know,
and
going
error.
Home with a swollen tongue thinking this is the worst thing I've ever tried.
By the way, your first band in college was the Aldehydes, wasn't it?
Yes, Swollen Tongue was our first album, oddly enough. Glad, yeah, I didn't know you had that one. Good for you. I'll sign it later.
All right. So now we're making what? Do you have the thyme in your hand?
We're going to make a bourbon and thyme. So this is just bourbon, maple syrup, and lemon juice, and we'll garnish it with thyme. The syrup comes from my farm, and we actually bottle maple syrup that's been aged in bourbon barrels that we have at the distillery.
And does that have a profound impact on the taste of the syrup?
It does. It's wonderful.
Great.
It's quite dangerous. Okay. I don't think anyone's ever tasted it and not bought it when they've come
ha.
In.
You know, that's what you not want. To overly compliment the guest, but I truly love your bourbon. What have you learned in the 10 years now? I mean, the bourbon, it's world-class bourbon.
Thank you. I think the cuts are important. Fermentation is important. There's a line from one of the Bullet bourbon heiresses, and her line was something to the effect of, bourbon's the only thing Americans wait for. And it's true, you can't buy time. So patience, I think.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
It is.
So this will be the bourbon and thyme.
Okay, bourbon and thyme.
There are a ton of different fall cocktails. I love doing the offbeat gin in the fall, just because most people think that gin goes by the wayside, but I don't think
not around here, not
good.
Around these parts.
Glad to hear it.
So, just while you're mixing that, let me remind folks that they are listening to Berkshire Mountain Distillers owner and distiller Chris Weld, and Berkshire Mountain Distillers is open, and you can visit them, and they'll have an event this weekend, and you can find out more by going to berkshiremountaindistillers.com. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable, but again, it's berkshiremountaindistillers.com, and that'll tell you all the information you need to know of how you can, and again, we'll put these recipes up. Give us a little while, but we'll get them up for you by before too long.
I can't really drink this because the thyme keeps going up my nose. Is that a problem? Can I have a straw?
Much more bright and acid than I would have thought on this one.
Hmm.
That's interesting. So you're still surprised by how it turns out?
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
I would say that...
seems like a drink. Like, that seems like what I would refer to as a stiff drink.
Yeah, well, there's basically mostly bourbon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's good.
There's bourbon, a little maple syrup, and a little lemon juice, but mostly
very
bourbon.
Tasty. Right. The bourbon shines through, even with the thing up my nose. It's pretty good.
It looks good, though. Celery stalk at the side of your...
I gave Ray the tall one on purpose.
My mind's a little more
you
muted.
You know, visual comedy doesn't really work on radio.
I don't know, but it does in the studio. It's very funny.
I would say the fall gin fizz was my favorite of the three.
That was very good.
I got to say the whiskey sour.
Yeah, the whiskey sour, although they were all great. This is a fantastic drink. This is really good, the bourbon.
You can't have more than 8 or 10 of those, though.
Yeah,
nice.
I would think. Yeah.
Nice.
What else? Do you have anything coming up that's as far as that you're working on a new?
We always do collaborations, which are fun.
Okay.
So we do barrel aged. We finish our bourbon in barrels from a bunch of different brewers. We have some from Two Roads coming out soon. We're going to pick up some more from Omegang. I hope we continually do them with those guys.
When you started that, I think there were laws, and you had to only. You could only sell it in states where the beer originated.
Right. So when I first came in and did the cask, it wasn't actually a law. It was a stepping on toes issue. So we did work with a bunch of little brewers, and I didn't want to sell the cask finish from bigger brewers. But we have this new – so we did it by state, and we picked a brewer per state.
Hmm.
We have a new project coming up, the Craft Brewers Whiskey Project, where we've distilled actual beer from these brewers. you know, Omegang, Sam Adams, Captain Lawrence, Big Elm, Harpoon, Long Trail, lots of great brewers.
What does it taste like when you do that?
It tastes like a whiskey with a little bit of the beer character in it.
Very
and
interesting.
So you can genotype it out.
I mean, these, and I only know this from the, my only, my naivete on this, but my only experimentation with that has been the Jameson products, the cask mates, that are done with the Irish whiskey, done both in the stout, the IPA. And
you haven't tried his? Yeah. He brought a Samuel Adams in
that,
once.
That, by the way, came out long before the Jameson.
Well, I'm
and
sure.
And it was great.
But
after
I missed
the first
that.
Sip, you got the
How
character
did I miss
of
that
Samuel
one? Where
Adams.
Was I?
That might have, was that a Food Friday? Or was
it
that
was a Food Friday.
Yeah.
It was.
Okay. And that's still available?
Yes. We have that currently in-house with Sam, Harpoon, Two Roads, Big Sky. But this the Craft Brewers Whiskey Project is different. That the cask finish is our bourbon just spent more time
in a barrel
after aged in the beer barrels. The Craft Brewers Whiskey Project is actually their beer distilled in oak. And that's some of it's about 3 years old now. So right, it's about another year on it.
You know— Chris, you're one of our favorite guests, and not just because you ply us with alcohol, but you're just very good at explaining all of this and making it accessible for everybody. We love when you come in, and as Ray mentioned, and I'll mention it too, just how great the product is. But we so appreciate you being here, and I think we can have a much better fall as a result of your work here this morning. Just a reminder that you can learn more about Berkshire Mountain Distillers by visiting them, BerkshireMountainDistillers.com. Try that again, Berkshire Mountain
Take
Distillers.
Take two, Foster Brooks. Try it again.
It was the wine before.
Yeah, I'm sure.
BerkshireMountainDistillers.com, and you're open this weekend.
We are open this weekend, not
Excellent.
On Monday.
Not on Monday, but Saturday and yep. Sunday. And you can find out more by going to BerkshireMountainDistillers.com. Again, we'll get these recipes up eventually. And I thank you very much for being here. Ray, thank you.
And thank you both.
It's very nice to have you here. We'll try to clean up the studio here in
30 seconds
the
before
next 30
Midday
seconds
Magazine.
For Brian to come in. My thanks to the entire crew. Sarah LaDuke, our wonderful producer. Thanks to our engineer on the board, Mike Bowen. Have a beautiful holiday weekend. We'll be back on Tuesday. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.